Wow, here we go. Wow, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you, God, that you are in us and you're moving through us, not just to touch our lives or our families, but to touch our communities and touch the nations. And so we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're about to do. Help us be activated by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. A good pastor friend of ours is currently down in London. Today is the London Marathon. And you know, the title for what I'm going to share today is called Starting at the Finishing Line. And I'm sure all those who are standing in trepidation, waiting, you know, for the horn or whatever it is, the starter gun to go off, could be wishing, you know, that they were starting on the finishing line as they have to, you know, run through all those streets of London. And there's nothing greater. I've watched my two children and my son-in-law do half marathons, and my son has done a couple of marathons as well. And, you know, you watch them flagging, don't you, at a certain point. You can just see everyone's like, ugh, you know. And it's great because they've got the name on the chest and you can shout their name out, whoever it is, someone you've never met before, you know, and you shout their name out, suddenly they go, you know, and it lifts their shoulders and they get that extra little bit of boost and energy, you know, to run again and to get over the line. I find it very inspiring. So starting at the finishing line. You know, the day that we're living in right now, we need to understand the word of God. We need to understand his written word. We need to understand the prophetic timeline of where we are so that we're always in the right place, the right time, with the right people doing the right thing for heaven to come to earth. I recently had a painting we bought from overseas somewhere. And we had it framed, and it's a huge painting. And it's probably far too big for my living room. The guy who framed it said, I hope you've got a big house to put this painting in. I said, no, I haven't at all, really. But it's like this picture of heaven exploding. You know, just all these vibrant colours just splashing out, golds and reds and yellows and oranges and just every colour just splashing out, you know. And I sit under that and I remind myself all the time when I'm on Zoom and I can see this picture behind me, you know, that heaven is meant to invade earth through every one of our lives, you know. We need to be reminded that we are vessels, you know, that bring heaven to earth when we're in the right place, the right time, with the right people doing the right thing. Isaiah 61, I love, and most of us do. But beginning at verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And, you know, God wants to remind every one of us today that you are here and you are anointed because you have been chosen by God to be here in all of eternity. You know, right the way back, God knew exactly when you were due to be born and the very life and the lives that you were born to impact. You know, no one else can do what you are called and created to do. Hallelujah. You know, I said yesterday, you know, our team went away for an advance. We try and do that every year. We have a lot of spiritual stuff, but we have a lot of fun as well, which is great. And the Holy Spirit just really fell. And one of our team just kept saying, it's good news, it's good news. That's all she could say. And we're all as drunk as anything in the spirit. And some of us need to be reminded in a world where we're being bombarded with bad news and you need to be frightened of this, and you need to be frightened of that, that actually the gospel is full of hope. The Bible is full of good news, and we need to be reminded of that so that we are vessels, you know, to bring good news to the poor. The Amplified Bible says this: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me. And this was so important for Jesus, as this positioned Jesus and established his ministry. And actually, it should establish our ministry too. You can choose to go on a mission. Has anyone here been on mission? You know, where you've gone overseas, or, you know, you've gone to London, or, you know, it's been a big mission to do. But actually, you know, when you are commissioned, it is a totally different thing. When you are on a mission, you go on your own, in your own strength, in a sense. But when you are commissioned, you are sent. You are sent. You wouldn't choose to commission somebody, you know, to play the drums, for example, if they don't know how to play the drums. You know, you commission somebody who God has gifted, who's trained and equipped. You wouldn't commission somebody to run the London Marathon today if they've not done any training. You know, if it was me, I probably wouldn't get past the door. You know, we commission somebody when we know that God has prepared them and anointed them for that particular task. And, you know, we are in a time zone when God is commissioning his people afresh to be vessels of good news and to be vessels of hope. That you're not just going hoping in yourself, you're hoping, knowing that God has filled you with his anointing and with his power. The Great Commission, you know, was when Jesus instructed the disciples that he loved to spread good news of the cross and of salvation to all the nations. That's never been rescinded. That is our commission, you know, to take the gospel that is full of power. We don't have to do a seeker-friendly gospel. You know, the gospel, it cannot be compromised. You know, we need to share the full gospel, and we know that signs and wonders follow, you know, when we share the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives as we share the gospel. Jesus sends us filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, to see massive breakthroughs. He empowers us. We've got no power of ourselves, but when we go commissioned, you know, by Jesus, we are empowered, you know, to really bring change. Jesus wants us to know him first of all. And we've sang about laying our lives down, but have we really done it? We're great at singing lies at times, aren't we? You know, we can sing songs, but we don't really mean it. And, you know, Jesus calls us to lay our lives down, to be born again. Number two, to be filled with his Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, number three, understands that Jesus has appointed us. You know, you need to know you're not just, you know, doing some random thing. You're appointed, you know, throughout all eternity for such a time as this. You know, to carry the presence of God and to be a vessel to bring heaven to earth. Number five, we need to understand that Jesus himself has commissioned us. Wow. Wow. He himself has chosen and commissioned you. And that means you're empowered to do all he's called you to do. Jesus wants us to start our life and ministry at the finishing line. You know, we're not starting it right at the beginning or halfway through or even near the end. Isaiah 40 verse 1 says this: God says to you, comfort, comfort my people with gentle, compassionate words, speaking tenderly from the heart to revive those in Jerusalem, to proclaim their warfare is over. The debt of sin is paid for, and she will not be treated as guilty. I love the Passion Translation. It really helps me to really understand what God is saying through his word. And the footnote for this verse says this: for the overcoming believer, the warfare of Romans 7 has ended. As we become victorious overcomers who move into Christ's victory, our race begins at the finishing line. We do not have to strive because Jesus has already won the victory over everything, sin and sickness. So what is that finishing line? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we are co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We've been co-resurrected with him so that we are empowered to walk in the freshness of new life with him. Wow. Romans 6, verse 5 to 7. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his, and the new life that that imparts. Colossians 2, 9 to 15. For he is the completeness of deity living in human form. For our own completeness is now found in him, to experience a resurrection like his. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows, like that river that we were speaking and that fountain we were speaking about before, that Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and every authority in the universe. That's what you've got flowing in you when you have the river of life within you. It's not just a trickle. It's powerful. Verse 11. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of our hearts. All the guilt and the power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Extinct. It's now extinct. Wow. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? It is extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believe in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state when we were held in sin's grasp. But now, we have been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven all of our sins. We have no fear of death. Christians, we should never be afraid of dying, because sin and death has no hold on us. Wow. Verse 14, he cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all. They cannot be retrieved. Everything we were once in Adam has been placed upon the cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Amen. The nature of Adam has been erased, and the nature of Christ has been embedded in us. We are totally set free from every trace of sin. Every. It's no good you saying, but Sue. Every trace of sin by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. By the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. And that was the finishing line. Ali's going to have a look at this. You will remember if you were here yesterday, this is what we were writing. We asked you to write, what are the things that Jesus died for?
He died for drug addiction, arrogance, blindness, abandonment, drunkenness, stammers, manipulation, AIDS, rejection, bullying, neglect, fear of man, gambling, lack of commitment, rebellion, idolatry, pride, fraud, rejection, keep still, fear, self-reliance, selfishness, division, heresy, doubt, unbelief, dysfunctional relationships, childhood trauma, division in the church, abuse, fleshly ties, unrepentance, so many, empire building, loneliness, domestic abuse, muteness, blasphemy, neglect, insecurity, deafness, blindness, and we could go on and on and on. In fact, he died for everything, every sin. And sickness, every sin and every sickness.
So he took upon himself all the sin and sickness. He suffered, not just taking on himself the sin and the sickness, but he suffered an onslaught of the demonic, you know, who thought they had won. They thought they had the victory. You know, the devil and all the demons, you know, were attacking Jesus as he hung upon that cross. You know, he looked so ugly, so marred, thankfully. You don't. He looked so ugly and marred, you know, that even the Father could not look upon his face. He had to look away. He could not bear to see the sight of his Son. You know, it wasn't just, you know, pride that was going on at that time. It was our pride. You know, it was pride right through the generations. You know, Jesus took the whole thing upon himself. And, you know, I am so thrilled that Jesus had victory over every sickness, over every disease, over everything demonic, over every situation that has not come from God's will for your life. You know, Jesus took it himself upon the cross. But as Jesus died, he declared, "It is finished." Yay! And he took back the keys of the kingdom that Adam and Eve had let go of. He took back the authority and the power, and he stood upon the victory, stood upon over every demonic principality and power. He had power and authority over every sickness, every disease, every demonic thing. Jesus took back that authority. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the finishing line. This is the finishing line. This is the finishing line where Jesus declared, "It is finished." You know, he didn't say except for cancer. He didn't say except for Joe Bloggs. He declared it is finished. And this was the finishing line. You know, Jesus rose again victorious over everything. You know, absolutely everything. And when we are born again, we do not have to come from behind the cross. You know, we don't have to work out our own salvation. You know, we start at the finishing line where Jesus has won the victory. We're over every principality. There is nothing that you are living with that cannot come under the power of Jesus. You know, the only reason you are not seeing breakthrough so often is because we're not coming back and embracing the power of the cross. You know, thank you so much. Can we give a big round of applause? Thank you. Awesome. You make a good Jesus. You make a good Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it didn't end there. Jesus rose again. And that power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for every one of us. You know, we feel so often, oh, I'm tired or whatever. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else. We need to remind ourselves that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for every single one of us. We should be the most empowered people in the world. You know, all the power companies are struggling, aren't they, at the moment? And some of them are really flagging. Some of them are going to go to the wall, probably. But, you know, we should be the most empowered people in the world. And I'll tell you a little something. I'm looking for a man or a woman that can design a ring. Honestly, I really believe, ladies, you'll all go, I want one of these. But, you know, I really believe we are the most empowered people. I really do. And I believe that God wants us to create more. I believe God wants to give us more design ideas, new business ideas, new adventures. You know, that we should be the ones that are really hearing from heaven, that have the strategies to recover from all these situations. You know, we should. And I've had a vision, and I really believe one day it's going to happen. You know, that I have hot flushes. Aren't they horrible, ladies? Horrible. And, you know, it's been going on for years. And I keep saying to people, I believe God wants to design a ring that ladies can wear. And you just press it like that and it sucks all that power out your body. Yeah. And it could power the national grid. It could. It could. I believe it's going to make someone a millionaire one day. You know, I do. I really do, because every woman would buy one. Wouldn't we buy one, ladies? Yeah, there you go. Guys, there's a challenge. But ladies could make it as well. Come on. Yeah. I really believe, you know, if God, you know, released that resurrection power in Jesus and that's available for us, there's no limit. We can do immeasurably more than we could ever dream or imagine. And we need to start having bigger dreams, don't we? And really imagine what God can do. Hallelujah. So we're starting at Jesus' finishing line. Romans 8:19, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious, glorious sons and daughters. That means you're full of the glory of God. Wow. I love it. I love it. For against its will, the universe itself has endured the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience all the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. You know, we only have to look around, you know, that the COP26 is going to be in Glasgow. We need to be praying for that, folks. We really, really need a breakthrough in terms of the environment. We really do. You know, just seeing... We need to see a change of government in terms of government doing what they say. you know, and instead of saying one thing and doing something else, we need breakthroughs. So we really need to be mobilizing people to pray for these leaders as they assemble together in the next few weeks. It's essential, absolutely essential, really important. People are dying. People are dying in our nation. 40,000 people a year are dying in our nation because of pollution. It's shocking. The figures are shocking. And we really need to be stirred up as Christians and to be part of the answer to that. You know, we need to see that we have the solutions. You know, I had a real poverty spirit for a long time. I really believed, you know, that I didn't deserve new things. And I remember going to my sister-in-law's wedding, and I got this dress from a charity shop, and I loved it, and I thought it was great, you know. And one of the guys in church said to me, "Have you got your dress for Annette's wedding?" So I said, "Oh yeah, I got it from Oxfam, and it's gorgeous, and it only cost me a fiver, and I was so happy with it." And he said to me, "Do you not think that God would like to give you a new dress?" And I was offended. I was offended because I was quite proud of my dress for £5. And you know, even then, that was a lot of money for us. And, you know, I was really offended, and I just thought, that's just awful. But God got a grip of me, and he said, "You're my daughter. Would I not want to give you a new dress?" And I had to repent. Because, you know, we'd lived in real poverty. You know, we'd had terrible times of poverty. But, you know, we'd sold everything we could sell just to keep food in our children's tummies. Sold the furniture, sold clothing, sold anything that we could sell. Because we were just in dire financial straits. And, you know, God always met us. He did. You know, I remember him saying to give some money away to somebody, and I gave it away, and it was the last money I had. And an envelope came through the door. But still I had a poverty spirit. And so I had to repent. You know, and I really believe this is speaking to people today. You know, that the actually part of that resurrection power is that we have access to heaven. We have treasures in heaven. You know, I don't want to leave anything in heaven that's got my name on it. Yeah. You know, I haven't this imagination. I can't say, I have been to heaven a couple of times, but this is my imagination and not what I've seen. But I imagine in heaven, you know, like shelves in IKEA or somewhere, you know, and they're full of things with my name on, or they're full of things with my city's name on that I need to go to heaven to release. And, you know, God does not want these people in poverty. You know, he has the riches of heaven. He has immeasurably more than you can dream or imagine. He has ideas he wants to give you. You know, he has new things he wants to release to you that bring breakthrough. And, you know, my poverty spirit was holding my city back. And that's a big, big, big thing. You don't realize that you staying with a poverty mindset is not just hindering you or your family, but it might be hindering your city. It might be hindering other people who are homeless. You know, we need to be saying, you know, I can't sing, we laughed last night, I can't sing, "We ask not for riches, but look to the cross." Because God said to me, "I want you to ask me for riches." Not because I want a nice car or a big house or all of that. But because I want to be able to feed the poor, I want to be able to meet the needs, you know, where people are desperate. And so when I repented, I want to tell you what happened. Somebody came to me who was a multimillionaire and said, "Sue, would you like to give my money away?" And I went, "Oh, just let me pray about that for a millisecond." And out of that came Liverpool Catalyst. And Liverpool Catalyst, you know, it was a network of Christian projects where Christians work together. So it's not just you and your church, but people from other churches working together, you know, to share the good news of the gospel and to reach people at their point of need. And, you know, out of that came 16 years ago. And from then, we have done so many amazing projects. But I believe that would not have happened if I had not repented. You know, There may be things that you need to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, my ordinariness has limited God's extraordinariness. You know, and he's looking for people like you and me who are ordinary. It's great to be ordinary. You know, God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for the ordinary people because then he gets the glory. You know, and I really believe in the time that we're living in, God is getting Christians out the box. You know, he's wanting us to be commissioned afresh and launched out full of resurrection power to make a difference. We had community champions that we appointed for Liverpool Catalyst. So we had a champion who went into the prisons and led prison ministry. So if anyone in the region wanted to get involved in prison ministry, you know, they would go to him. And we had a tremendous time going into the prisons with him and seeing what the Christian work that's going on. If you watched Time, has anybody watched Time? It was a very, very powerful drama by Jimmy McGovern, a great Liverpool writer and director. And he went into prison with Steve Hawkins and you know, saw what the Christians were doing. And it covers the chaplaincy service, a very powerful drama. Language is a bit choice, but that's what it's like in prison. You know, and but a very powerful story. We have champions that, you know, look to the homeless and in the schools and dramas and choirs and you name it, we've got them doing something somewhere. And I want to tell you one story, you know, really powerful. We did an angel's den, you know, like the dragon's den. And so we had some money and we said, you know, come in, make a bid to us what you want the money for, you know, and we'll allocate some funds. And we were like dead soft hearted. People never had to jump through hoops because we just wanted to give it to everybody, you know. So it was really easy for people. I think it was only one person we didn't give money to. But this lady came in called Jenny, and she brought a girl with her called Julie. And Jenny did Celebrate Recovery, which is a program that helps addicts and you know, people get free. And she had this girl called Julie with her. And Julie looked like she was 70, but Julie was only in her late 40s. And Julie began to tell us her story. And she told us about how, you know, she'd become a sex worker, how she'd been raped, how she'd been stabbed several times, how, you know, some of the things I can't even tell you because it's just so terrible. And we sat and we wept, you know, just wept at this beautiful woman whose life had been destroyed, you know. And she'd been part of Jenny's program and she got free of drugs and she'd stopped drinking and she wasn't selling her body anymore. And she was full of hope, you know, for the days ahead. And we went when they launched the program and we went and heard their stories and sat and cried all over again. You know, another girl who comes to our big push, you know, she's been part of that program as well. And again, just very broken, addicted to all kinds, you know, had been raped, gang raped and had horrific things happen to her. And we went and heard their testimonies, you know, and it was just so powerful. Anyway, a month later, I got a call from Jenny to say Julie had suddenly died in the night. And I'd only met her twice, but I was devastated. I was so heartbroken. And so, you know, we made some money available because we thought, you know, they won't probably have the money for the funeral. And we had a little bit left in our budget for that year. So we said, I said to Jenny, look, there's some money here. And if you need it for the funeral, you know, we can put that there. And we went to the funeral, you know, and it was the craziest funeral you've ever seen. So one half of the room was like full of drug addicts and pushes and all kinds of, you know, challenging characters, shall we say. And then the other half of the room, you know, there was a little handful of people, their family were there. Some of the people from the church, you know, have been working with her. And it was just like the craziest mix of people, but it was so beautiful. And Jenny came up to me at the end and she said, Sue, you know, we've managed to cover the cost of the funeral, so we don't need the money. And I said, well, I really believe that Julie had a vision, and she'd mentioned it to us about having a drama where you brought all the street girls who wanted to onto the stage to share their stories. So I said, why don't we put the money to that? You know, that was Julie's dream. And we could do that in her name, you know, on, to honour her and to reach other girls. And so they started a new project with this money and worked with the Everyman Theatre. And we got a call to say, we're ready, you know, will you come? And we went along and we locked into the room in the Everyman Theatre because they didn't want any of the guys who were controlling these women, who were still sex workers, you know, to come in and stop what was happening. And these girls told their stories, and you know, it was heartbreaking. No woman chooses that for their life, you know, but Jesus still has victory for each one of those. And there was one girl in particular, and she told her story, and she was emaciated. I mean, I thought she was ready to die. She just looked so ill and so poorly. And at the end, all of the women gave their lives to Jesus. Every one of them gave their lives to Jesus. And I'd said to the Lord, Lord, what can I do for these women? And the Lord said, go and hug them and tell them how much I love them. You know, and that's what we did. And they were just sobbing because people don't hug these girls. They just use them and abuse them. You know, people don't want them in their community. And so we just had a really powerful time. And, you know, that girl on the end, Maxine, you know, she went into a program and she's free of drugs now. She's been free for 3 years. She's living really well and she's leading a ministry herself now. You know, God is doing mighty things. And, you know, God just wants to say to you today, he wants to do immeasurably more than you can dream or imagine. There is no limitation. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how abled or disabled you think you are. You can still go round the world from your living room in prayer. You can reach into heaven, you know, and you can pull down heaven to earth into other people's lives and situations. You can pray for the government, you know, through this season. God has opened Zoom for me in a new way, and I've literally been praying with some of the top bankers in the world, you know, people who are ambassadors and generals in the American army. God has opened the door, and if he can do that for me, he can do amazing things for you from your living room. There's no excuse. God is looking for ordinary people. You know, he's not necessarily looking for the generals and the ambassadors. He's looking for people just like you who'll say, God, use me. You know, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do. And so I just want to finish there really and pray. And I just sense that God wants us to be recommissioned today. You know, that we're starting on the finishing line. And I feel for some of you, you might need to come and do a prophetic act where you come and you stand where Jesus stood, you know, with everything, every principality and power under his feet. You know, we're going to bring the keys out, and you can maybe you need to come and take hold of those keys as a prophetic sign, you know, that you are have the power and authority to lock up things that have been happening in your family or in your community or in our nation or nations. You know, that God has given you power that raised Jesus from the dead. So, you know, if we have that available to us, then there's nothing we cannot do in his name. Anything he asks you to do, do it. You know, it's not about you just having a good idea and doing things in your own power and strength. It's about when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it, and do it quickly. You know, so that you are a person that God can use to bring heaven to earth. You know, I really believe even in this room today, you know, there are people who are going to impact the national health. You know, there's going to be people here. You're going to impact industry, you know, businesses. You're going to cause communities to thrive, you know, and wherever you are, you're in ministry. You know, you're not just in ministry if you're here playing the keyboard and singing. You are in ministry wherever you are, 24 hours a day. You know, you are filled with the power of God. There's not some switch at the back of your neck that you can switch on and off. You know, you are God's representative right now here on earth. So we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I firstly want to say, if there's anyone here and you've never given your life to Jesus, you know, this is the time. You know, we don't want you to go out of this place without knowing that Jesus is your Saviour. You might have been in church for ages, but we want to give you that opportunity today. You know, while we're praying for people, if that's you, I want you to come and speak to me or Ali or to Robert. You know, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, He's here. He's here, and we can lay hands on you and believe that you can be filled with Holy Spirit. If you need healing, you know, I believe God is here. You know, I believe God came to set the captives free, you know, and He wants to release people today. Signs and wonders, miracles. So we're going to pray. Would it be good if we have some music? That'd be good. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So don't need to be shy today. If you want prayer, you know, let's run forward. Thank you so much. Thank you. Brilliant. Thank you, God. So I'm going to put these on the table. And if you prophetically want to take hold of those keys and all they represent, that's great. If you want to start a business making rings for women with... I'll definitely pray for you. You know what? In another 10 years, you might laugh when you see them for sale. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you created us for such a time as this so that we... start at the finishing line. We take hold of that finishing line today. We take hold of the cross and the massive power of resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead. He was so covered in glory that even his own disciples didn't recognize him. Lord, we want to be so covered in your glory, Lord God, that when people see us, they only see you. Lord God. Lord God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We just release miracles in this room today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that even now you're just clearing the arteries in people's hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you're just flushing bodies out. Lord, things that shouldn't be there, Lord, you're just flushing through, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're flushing through kidneys, Lord. You're clearing kidneys. Huh? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I want to pray for anyone experiencing confusion. Lord, we speak the blood of Jesus over people's brains and minds right now in Jesus' name. And we pray a real restoration, Lord, of memories and minds. Lord, where there's been any damage done into the brain, Lord, we pray. Lord, we know in the natural it's impossible for the brain to restore itself, but Lord, and we're not living in a natural world. Lord, we're living in a supernatural world. And so we pray, Lord God, for restoration of brains today. Lord God, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you want prayer, please come forward. Don't be shy. if you want to stand on this, you know, as a prophetic act, or take hold of the keys, you know, please do. And I'll hand them back to Robert.
Been commissioned, but I want to be commissioned even further. Yeah. So we'll take authority over all of this lot. What we've been doing in the past, we just keep increasing and trample on the enemy. The demonic is underfoot. And we've spoken so many times and so much about the keys of the kingdom, but we take hold of them. And every one of those keys has got a door. And we're speaking, all these doors are going to be opened. We're going to see breakthrough. We are going to see breakthrough.
Amen.
Yes. And there's going to be more keys than this as well.
Amen.
And we all receive that fresh anointing today and that fresh commissioning. Lord God, we receive it today. We make a choice, Lord God, that we're not just going to leave it here, Lord. We're receiving it, Lord God, that we will be commissioned to go wherever you lead us, Lord, and to do whatever you call us to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.